me because I can't see. There we go. Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. Much like every other Crystal Palace fan on the planet, we're gutted the season's over, but it is. Joining me today is a very depressed Ned Rock down in Melbourne. Ned, how are you, mate?
Depressed, as you said. I mean, it
Good,
wouldn't be
good,
much
good.
more than
Moving
saying
on.
that, would you?
Ned, a very tired Dale Quarty in Southern Sorry. How are you, Dale?
Very tired, as you just
Good,
said.
good. You got what I was putting down. Well done. And the man with the most dedication to the pod today is Marky Werner, having turned down a guaranteed leg over this evening to pod with us all.
Get out. Yeah, your words, not mine, mate. Literally not mine. But yeah, I shuffle the deck chairs to be with you guys tonight, let's just say. So I've made my decision and I stand by it. But this is a family show, so that's probably about as much as I'll say until the second half.
We'll wait to the watershed after Exiled Eagles After Dark when Mark reminisces about all his other extracurricular activities.
Are you up late?
Well, for this,
Available on Patreon.
we
Yeah.
as we promised everyone at the start of the season, we'd be more regular and do the shorter pods. So we've successfully achieved that by not podding for about 4 months.
Incorrect.
When do we last pod?
About 2 months ago, and then they didn't bother posting
Oh yeah, well
it.
no, we've actually put every week, listeners, dear listeners, but Ned chose not to bother posting them. So, if this comes
You're
out,
welcome,
wonderful.
listeners.
If not, we just have a chat
You're
amongst
welcome,
ourselves.
listeners.
We have a chat
Imagine
amongst
having to listen to
ourselves.
Rob every week. But you're welcome, listeners. Yeah. Everything.
Oh, I suppose there's only one place to start, and that's the fact that Oliver Glasner's going to take us to European glory, or to Premiership glory, and then European tour next season. Like, when Roy Hodgson left, people were saying, "Be careful what you wish for. You'll stay out with Roy," and all that type of thing. But I feel that has been proven. The "be careful what you wish for" people have got very quiet since Glasner's taken over. But they all. Did you imagine it being this good?
Nope.
Moving on. Mark, did you think it'd be this good?
I mean, Dale's covered most of it there, but I'll try and
Sweet.
elaborate. I mean, it was I think we touched on, well, the last pod that was uploaded for people to listen to anyway. I think we were chatting about Ollie coming in. Didn't know much about him. Held high hopes. Looked a smart chap, nice shoes, and he's come to the party. It was an okay start, but geez, he really lit it up at stumps there. So all about it, mate. Yeah, we've dared to dream for I don't know about European glory, but just a bloody a seat at the table, which would have been nice. And we've banged on about that with previous runs of form and managers. So yeah, this is looking actual sort of real deal type. Yeah, and obviously when we say that, we mean, Europa or conference or something. But, looking forward to playing Sheriff or someone on a Wednesday night in Timbuktu or wherever the fuck they play.
Well, Mark, you did say this was a family show and you're dropping the F-bomb within 3 minutes.
Sorry, mate. After eight, isn't it? What's it
I
tonight?
said what it is, but now, Dale, I'll come back to you. We'd like to
I'd
expand on
rather do
the
it
no.
after eight, actually, just thinking about
Mm.
that. But yeah, I think we spoke at some stage just about the Glasner sort of roadmap. It goes well and it can potentially go combustible towards the end. Let's enjoy the bit that goes well. I think we said in the unpublished pod, if you get a manager who's got a bit of an idea and he gets Eze and Olise and everyone and Munoz and a Wharton and everyone in that team, then they're probably going to do better than what Hodgson had and what he did. Now, we all know I'm not a Hodgson defender, But yeah, look, it's gone really well. It's better than we could ever have imagined. What a run to finish 10th. I lost count of how many times I made a double clef sign or whatever on my phone and wrote boom, 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 Mateta's in the room and sent it to my mates in the UK. Yeah, it's just, you just couldn't imagine it. You couldn't have picked it, like, to be as good as we were. Simple as, couldn't have picked it.
What do you reckon? What about you, Ned?
I thought we were shit.
Ugh.
Oh, look, obviously phenomenal end to the season. It's fantastic. We're playing brilliant, free-flowing, attacking football. And with all the players that we have available there, great stuff. I mean, looking forward to hopefully seeing most of them still there and being able to sort of try and continue that next year. The real test will be that sort of bit when fixtures start piling up as we head towards sort of that December period next year. And that's traditionally where, regardless of how well we are going, how well or poorly we're going, the wheels start to fall off as the depth starts to get exposed and people start getting injured from that from overplaying. So I think that'll be the real test to see just how good Glasner can be and how well he can manage that group of players. You get that sort of he sort of came in once we'd won those couple of games to sort of make sure that we weren't going to get relegated, which in the end we were never getting relegated given how shit the bottom three were. We obviously didn't know that at the time. So he sort of had that free hit, got that freedom to sort of come through. I don't think he's going to change that regardless of whether he's got the freedom or not in terms of the approach. But obviously it helps with the player's mentality to be able to go out there as well and then they build the confidence and that sort of stuff. So hopefully we can start the same way next year. Hopefully we don't get to the fixture congestion and lose all of our good players again to injury. And we don't have to really find out what can happen at the other way. And it's just free-flowing attacking football, Mateta Ballon d'Or, Premier League glory, onto the Champions League 2025-26. And happy days. Can't wait for to see Real Madrid get turned over at the Bernabeu in the second leg of the semi-final, with Mateta banging in four, just to actually make it five, just to outdo Sola. And away we go.
If I'm not mistaken, I do believe Real Madrid's record at Selhurst Park is played one, lost one. So the
Which
odds
is
are forever in our favour.
that's 100. That's an 100% record right there. So I'd rather not ever play them again and just leave it at that and take someone else.
Can't take a 50% record.
I mean, yes, if you're playing around, you've obviously done something okay. Yeah, I just don't think anyone could see that level of improvement. And it's been said on other pods, but it's not just your superstars, your Elise and Eze's. Look how good Will Hughes was. Look how good Tyrick Mitchell was.
Say Jeff Schlupp. Go
Look how good that goal Jeff Schlupp scored was.
on.
Look how good Nathaniel Clyne was at right centre back. I mean, that's come from a style of play, whereas, under previous management, we'd just sit back and try and play for a draw and hope Elise and Eze pull something out. Here we looked like we're going to score most times we went forward. It was brilliant. Took a little while.
I think we have got to caveat that with a lot of the baseline stats. And again, I'm not a Roy defender. A lot of the baseline stats probably weren't too different. And what we saw happen probably isn't sustainable. I.e., who was the last one of the last games we played against Villa, when at one stage we had like 36% possession. Had two shots and scored two goals, and that's just not maintainable. And I think
No.
a lot of the stuff that happened is not. So I think we just need to temper some expectations of Ollie, and I think there's going to be
Shut up, Dale. We're going to win the league.
yeah, fine. I think that we are going to win the league, but we're going to do it in a very difficult fashion.
Those type of stats aren't sustainable, but we attacked for a purpose and we attacked like we knew what we were doing. Like every player kind of was there was always options on the ball. Look at some of the goals we scored. Like, let's take the Liverpool away, right? There was quick passing around players
Yeah, but we
where
did
they
that
didn't
under
move.
Hodgson. We
We
did that under
did.
Hodgson. We
Okay, I
scored
can
a goal
even.
against a goal against Brighton, which had 57 passes or something. Was that under Hodgson or was that under Vieira?
That
I
was
can't remember.
Vieira.
But
That was Gallagher.
we've done it. But we've done it. So I think we need to.
We didn't
I think
do
we
it.
just need to.
We did it occasionally, and Vieira had
We've
an
only
attacking.
did it once. We've only done it once under Glasner. So let's
I
calm
mean,
down.
look at the goal away at, was it away at Wolves when Elise's goal, when there loads of ping ball in around the box and it
There
goes
was
up to
not
Michael Cutlin.
21 passes.
They're not all gonna not we're not gonna score goals with 21 passes in, but there was a clear game plan. Like people on the ball, like Adam Wharton, the people like Adam Wharton who just what have I heard someone call him? The human pinball machine that the ball just comes to him and just bang, it just gets rid of it. Brilliant.
Very, very. Look, I'm very cautiously optimistic. I just don't want to be sat here in 8 months' time with everyone going, "Oh, well, that didn't work," because there is as good a chance of it working as there is of it not working. So come on, Ollie, prove me wrong. But his track record suggests there is some possibility of something going a little bit pear-shaped at some stage.
It doesn't matter if you're saying 8 months, Dad won't put it out anyway, so it'd just be to us, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, I was going to say there'd be nothing on record about it. So
Yeah.
blows away, Dale. You're fine.
I'm gonna argue that his track record is complete opposite. The only reason that things have kind of gone wrong is because he hasn't been backed, and he hasn't felt like he's been backed by the other clubs. Every club he's taken to Europe, if you look, they finished the season before fairly low, then he
So
gets involved.
every club he's been at, he felt hasn't backed him, has one common denominator in that.
Yeah, him. Of course it is.
Just saying. Anyway,
Well,
it's
given our position financially, we're not going to suddenly be able to go, here's Kylian Mbappe, Ollie, do your best. So we're not going to back him any. We're not going to back him any more than any of his previous clubs have. We don't have the ability to do that. So if he decides that he wants more than we can offer, then it's going to go the same way. But it's okay. We'll deal with that when it comes. But now, Super Football.
I'm saying he's probably that conversation must have been had, and he must have been given some type of assurances that he'll get players that he wants in this summer at least. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. And
Wasn't that why he left his last post? He wasn't being
yeah,
sort of,
last two.
given the insurances he was promised. So he said, sort of stick up your ass and bar.
He wanted to go to Bayern Munich and they wanted him, but we just decided that because he's only just been contracted
Mean,
that.
that's hearsay, right? Some people say he wanted to go, some people say he turned it down, like you don't know. But what it does show is that it's vital we got him when we did, otherwise he would not have been around now. If we kept Hodgson to the end of the season, we'd have had to be on plan B, C, or D. Welcome back, Patrick Vieira.
No, yeah,
Dad.
that's
What?
probably true. There's no chance he turned down Bayern Munich for us.
He was under what? I don't know. Okay. He's our manager. Whoopie-doo. But on that backing thing, I think there must be something to it because Dougie, if you hear that, he's turned down Newcastle and they're gonna have money to spend. So he must have been given assurances as well. I think there's gonna be quite an exciting summer in SE25. Look, so
I
which
think,
you know.
I just think the Newcastle thing with Dougie, I think it's more, there's not money to spend because they are right on the line of sustainability and whatever it's called. So I think they're going to have to sell a lot to get any in. And I don't think the buyers are necessarily going to be in for the players they want to get rid of for the money they want. Makes his job harder. I think with us, we're shooting in a lower pool, so it's going to be slightly easier. And I think we're all sorry, and I think we are all resigned to the fact there is going to be one sale that will probably finance all of the spending at Palace.
Absolutely. And
I think that's
while we're kicking Newcastle, they haven't really got a whole lot to sell either. If we look at their youth products that have just popped out to Australia, and copped a club record 8-0 hiding. To the A League, we'll call the A League All Stars, but A League mid-range players, because all the good ones were playing on the Saturday, or weren't available. So that was just a fun little thing to throw in. Just a good couple of days for them. They had Dougie Freedman turn them down, and then topped an 8-0 belting to a bunch of irregular chat. shit kickers from Australia.
To on that day, I'll say that with the PSR thing, which that there is absolute merit to it. But I mean, it's a whole schmozzle about the actual, the punishment should you get caught. Well, Everton got 8 points, but then they got two back, and then Forest got 4 points. Like, for a club like Newcastle who want to be challenging the Champions League spots, right? So if they go and break PSR, then they finish second, for example, and they lose 4 points and finish third and they still finish to get the Champions League. It's probably worthwhile, isn't it, really? Because no one did that. There is no deterrent at the moment because clubs can just point at what the Premier League gave to Everton and Forest and say, well, why are we getting 10, 15, 20 points when they only got four?
Don't know enough about the PSR rules, but I will like to. I'm going to bet that no one this year is going to go out and just spend
I don't think they
stupid
will either,
amounts
to
of
be honest.
money without
I
being any
think
back,
you're right.
without bringing it back. Just wait, I just can't see it happening.
I think you're probably right there. But I mean, if a club wanted to push it, I mean the precedent's been set as being soft as puppy shit, really, to do it. So look.
Aren't we in a position where our ass is in a bit of a sling unless we make some movements in the next window in regard to do we need to sell, don't we? We need to sell like X amount or millions worth to get back on the right side of the ledger type thing,
I
or
think what
we're
we've got
in
in
the
our
shit?
favour, what we've got in our favour is, yes, I think we do, but one sale of, given the quality of players we've got, we really only need to sell one player for 60 million and we're back and happy, good to go. And we've got about seven or eight players that potentially you could sell for 60 million. So I think we should be okay.
Gahee will go this summer. I think it's pretty clear that he'll go, and we're looking for 60, 65 mil for Gahee. And then, it's down to Elise whether he wants to go. If someone wants to bid for him, we won't be able to stop him if he wants to go. So we pretend, and who knows how much his release fee causes and how much we actually get from that. But between, let's just say those both go, that's 100 million we'll probably get for both of them. After it's
Right.
all
If we got
said,
less than 100 million for those two players, I'd be pretty disappointed.
yeah, so would I. But you don't know how
Yeah.
much his release clause is. You
Well,
don't know how much we're
if
paying on
rumored
Reading
that it
will have him
was
set
30
on.
million odd, if it was rumored it was 30 million odd last time, and then he signed a new contract to stay another season, you would like to think that that hasn't gone down.
No, but I'm saying, if you
Yeah,
say 60, but you don't know how much you what Reading.
it's less than 60.
Who knows? Like, is it
Yeah,
like
I thought I'd read 30, 35. I thought I
that's what it
saw.
was. I think it's gone up.
It's
Yeah.
definitely less than 60, though. That's been reported as less than 60.
But
And it's
see,
complicated with all the add-ons and whatever else, but anyway, yeah.
exactly. So I think like he gets some of the money. Reading gets some money. So like we're not going to say if we sell him for 50, we're not getting 50 for him. Like we're getting 30, 40, whatever. So
Well,
if
considering AWB went for 50, it's got to be well north of that, you'd think.
don't think it was our choice that he called the shots there. He's like, we can't say that we'll put a release clause in for what we want to put it in for 500 mil. And you'll be like, no, I'm not signing the contract. So he's like, we'll up the release clause a bit, but it's still going to be doable for most clubs if they want to do it, I would say. Which means I'm going to go on a tangent here, fellas. I'm going to throw a curveball at you, see how you think on your feet. But what do you think will happen in the summer? Who do you think goes? Who do you think stays? What positions would you love to see bolstered? So I'm going to come to Mark first.
Excellent. So I guess for outs, we've already had a little bit of cleaning of house with Jimmy T. Oh, James Tompkins has gone, which is probably fair. Gyro as well. So I don't know who replaces that hair. I haven't looked across Europe enough to decide who can fill that hair net. Let's say Dale put his hand up here. He's been looking smart too, bro. I've got to say,
Thanks, mate.
very
Thank
good,
you. Thank
very
you.
good. Then a couple of extensions. I think Hughes got an extension. Of course, Joel Ward got an extension. That's a no-brainer. So I was happy to see them knocking about the club. So yeah, it's I'd say it's been such a funny old season, certainly a season of two halves, and the fact that like a true yardstick of what we need, I think, is murky by the fact of just the injuries and the makeup or the compilation of injuries that we've had. Like, we've barely had Alisa and Eze on the field together. Decuro long term, Lerma, a smattering of injuries. So everyone fit. Like, I don't know if there's a hell of a lot of tinkering to be done there. Obviously, another centre back be good to replace Gay if he goes, and all the jungle drums are saying that's going to be, the big enchilada that's going to go in the summer. That's probably fair. No one's hosing it down to say otherwise. Chat of like, do we off Edouard and maybe do a little bit smarter business there? Do we get back what we paid for him? I don't know. He started the season as our first choice striker, and then it's ended up just, Mateta's just doing it with a leg in the air, literally. So, that's been a massive shift and turnaround. So, yeah, it's hard. So probably just replace the obvious, but not a shit load to be honest. Certainly not wholesale changes. A lot of resurgences with Glasner coming back in, a bunch of guys under that banner. Hughes, one Kleinie, I think they're playing awesome lately. I don't know, man, I can't really give you a big list of names because I don't know if there's really a big list to be had. Just some fringe tinkering. And I couldn't tell you who to come in because I just don't watch European football or club. They're not Palace or anything, mate. So I don't know who's on offer or what's going where, but I'll run my eye over it once it makes a newspaper column or something.
Yeah, I'm like you, mate. I don't know much else outside Palace. What about you, Ned? What do you think? What do you
Well,
think
it
we
seems like
need?
we've already signed, well, basically signed the Gehi replacement or the extra centre back in Chaddy Riyad
Oh, Riyad or whatever.
from Real Betis,
Barcelona.
Barcelona slash wherever the fuck he's playing from at the moment. So he sounds like a what like one that Glasner has clearly had his eye on, or maybe he's had his eye on, and we've been looking ready to go for a bit there. So that's hopefully one that will be good. He's allegedly been doing medicals because he was pulled out of their squad for a game. So that's hopefully accurate, because it would be very un-Palace-like to just get a signing straight away done over the line as soon as the window opens. So
We did it
we'll very
last year. We did it last year.
We did. It'd be very nice to do it again.
Yeah.
It would also be nice for that not to just be like it and then just kick back and not see much else for a bit. But I think, yeah, it depends on what we need, depends on what goes out, what goes the other way. As we've said on the pod before, it's lovely to keep all of our players and all that sort of stuff. But realistically, we are, and we need to be, for financial fair play, we need to be a selling club. And we need to do that smartly. So we need to, Sue probably will go in the summer. We need to make sure we get very good prices for them, and we need to make sure that we spend that money smartly. So, I mean, say for example, we spent like 20 million on Gehi. He goes for 60. We bring in this new guy for 15. Hopefully, he's 20 years old. He hits the ground running. 3 or 4 years, we sell him for 60. There's 40 million profit, and you keep. You buy for 20, you sell for 60. You're going to end up with a very handy squad, and you're going to end up with absolutely no issues financial fair play. And then eventually you get into Europe, and some of those players don't necessarily want to go quite as much. And instead of selling for 60, you're buying for 20, selling for 100. And in theory, it's a very easy, friendly business to get a hold of. Obviously, there's a little bit more to it than that. You've got to get the right people in, but I think, in terms of, we don't seem to be taking huge risks with these players. We just seem to have, and I think that's where Dougie is so important, is he just seems to be able to convince these people that everyone wants that Palace is the spot to get, that Palace is the spot to be. Because I mean, like all of these players that we're signing, it's not like we're sitting there going, who, you know, who's, you know, we mightn't necessarily know Che Riad ourselves, but you know, around, you know, if you read the papers, you know, they've already linked to it's, you know, hundreds, you know, hundreds of other clubs and big name clubs, you know, but picking up, you know, your Chris Richards from Bayern Munich, you're picking up Che Riad from Barcelona. Like these aren't guys that sort of are going completely under the radar and no one's ever heard of. They're smart signings that aren't quite cracking it into that big team, but are ready to play football at a good level and potentially are good enough because they obviously saw the potential in them at some point, but then they just couldn't get into the first team ahead of whoever else it was. So they're smart signings at smart prices, rather than going and looking for just, you know, the absolute miracle buy. And it's about being able to convince them that Palace is where to go. And so far, we seem to be doing that quite well. So if we can get another two or three of them in to replace the two or three that leave, we should be in a good spot.
There.
So I've said it before. My concern is if we sell Elise, bring someone in, they're not going to be Elise, and that brings the quality of the team down. Anyway, next point. I think we'll get a goalkeeper because I can't see Johnson and Henderson staying. I think one of them will go to further their England ambitions. So I think a reserve goalkeeper will come in. I still think we need to get a left-sided midfielder or wing back or left back, whatever you want to call it, because especially in this new system, Mitchell cannot be playing every week. We suppose we have cover for that on the right because you've got Munoz, Ward, and Klein. Whether you think they can play the roles or not, you've got the cover. I think we'll get another striker because you can't rely on Mateta to continue being this good. And Edouard, we've seen, is not good enough. I think we should probably. I was going to say another central midfielder, but we've got too many of those already because Doucouré and Lerma are going to come back in. If one of those was to go, forever in a day, loved Ethan Ampadu. I think he's wasted in the championship now. I'd love to see him get a crack under this system. And I reckon there'll be one more centre back because if Charlie Riad comes in, he is the Tompkins slash Klein replacement. So there's got to be another one for Gerhi, as far as I can see.
Yeah, I'm also interested to see what we do with your Ozos, your Akseki's, those type of guys, because they need a loan. We need to get them out on loan.
They won't go on loan. They can't go on loan because we haven't got the cover for them,
But I
unfortunately.
think, but that's what I'm saying. If we bring in players that can cover for them, they need to go. They have to, but for the development, because I mean, you've got Francis still around and stuff, but he's got. I'll be interested to see how he goes after under Glasner when you see the improvement of other players.
I don't think that any of those fringe first teamers are going to go on loan purely because. You, if they disappear on loan, the way loan contracts are generally written these days, you can't get them back until 6 or 12 months. And if you get injuries, you're up the creek. And if we have, so I can quite honestly foresee if we have Hughes, Wharton, Lerma, Doucouré, for example, I can see an Ozo going, either basically playing the season in the reserves or leaving full stop. I just,
I don't think he leaves.
I think some of them now, like, you know, I'm hearing people go, oh, Scott Banks, oh, he gets a chance in the first team. No, he's been in the books for how long? He's not good enough. See you later. Like, we need to, and this goes back to the financial fair play point. We can't have effectively 31 first team players, which is what sort of happens if you start sending people out on loan. At the end of that season, they come back. You've got these people you've already bought. If you're sending people out for experience, you're going to have too big a squad. So you just,
It's
I
for a
think,
planning, though. It's for a planning, though.
but my point is, I think there'll be more, there's going to be some more outgoings at some stage because we just cannot hold the squad we've got. Like we know some players are going to leave and we know we're going to replace those players. If we're going to bring more players on top of that, our squad's going to be too big. And we
Yeah,
can't hold that squad. We haven't got the money for it.
but if you think about it, right? So it's for what I'm thinking about is forward planning. Let's just take Ozo for example. He's a very good example, right? So. He didn't look bad at all when he came on in the Premier League. But he needs to play week in, week out at a higher level than under 23s or whatever it is now. So he goes and goes to the championship, plays a season in the championship. Doucouré comes back next season. Doucouré has a season like he had the season before. All the big clubs are sniffing around again. Doucouré goes. Ozo's had a year of football. Ozo then has a chance to start. Wharton, we're gonna be bloody lucky if we keep hold of Wharton throughout the season if he carries on the way he's going. Right? So then that could be two gone. But if we've got rid of Ozo or he's only played in the under 23s, we then have to go and spend a whole load of money. And it just, if he goes in the championship, does well in the championship, comes along, it's like, right, he's the ready-made replacement. He's played a bit of Premier League. He's had a full season, and I'm not talking like a club that's just come up from League One. He goes to a Leeds or Burnley or one of the clubs that just gone down.
Maybe you've got to think these guys are going to go off on loan in your world, go off on loan, and they're not going to come back into our team. If that's the case, just get shot of them. Another year down the track, contracts are expiring, might get nothing for them. If they're not going to be part of the plans and we want to bring other
He's
players
not.
in, they've got to go.
But what? But then the kind of the model doesn't work. That then we keep having to buy players. There's no point in putting all this money into the academy when we've got
No,
these
but
players coming through.
there
You
is.
sell your David Ozo for 5 million. You sell Scott Banks for 3 million. You make 20 million, and then you sign an Adam Wharton. That's where your academy comes in. Or if you get an absolute superstar who comes through, I mean, most of our academy players that have come into the first team, you think about, your Tyrick Mitchells. He didn't go off on loan. He came into the first team and was good enough to stay. Think about Aaron Wan-Bissaka. He came into the first team. He was good enough to stay. We're in the Premier League now. These players, if they come in, they either come in and they're good enough, they have one loan, and then they go. David Ozo, yeah, potentially you would send him out on loan for 1 year. But
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying we don't do.
Araxaki, you're looking at going, he's had two, three, he's done all right at League One. Is he going to get in ahead of Eze, Elise, even a França, whoever it is that comes in? He's not getting in ahead, he's not getting in the team half the time ahead of Jeff Schlupp. And you're going, well, if that's the case, sorry, Jez. Like, I love the idea, and everyone loves the idea of the players that come through the academy.
I'm saying we have to. We don't know that though, because like
But we do,
Rex.
because he would have
We could,
played.
you said he had a decent season League One. He was the best player in League One.
Yeah,
But
mate, he's not good enough. I'm sorry, he's not good
I
enough.
don't
If
know.
he
I don't know.
was good, if he
He
was
had
good
a
enough, he would have played more. I know he's had a bit of few injuries. He was good enough, he would have played more. Simple as. He's come
I
on,
think
he's looked
harsh because
lightweight.
he's been injured. You can't just turn around and say the kid that's that he should have gone low to the championship this year. So he comes in, he's got Elise in front and IU, he got Roy Hodgson to start his seasons. He's never You know how Hodgson is. He's never throwing him straight in. He's going to be Jordan Ayew and Jeff Schlupp all the time, right? Then when those players are injured, he's injured. So he doesn't get the chance to play against Forest. He played well, and then he got injured and was out for a period of time. Now, am I saying he's guaranteed to be good enough? No, I don't know. But I just think that we've got that if we sell Elise, we'll sign someone to. We're not going to sign Michael Elise. Michael Elise is a one-off. The person we get to replace
Apart from
Michael
when you
Olise is
mentioned
not going to be as good as
Jordan
Michael
Ayew
Olise.
and Adam Wharton, who was a one-off. Mark
Yeah.
Dev, who was a one-off.
They are.
Well,
Like,
that's
he was
five
a good. They're
one-offs
not.
we signed. So if we sign five one-offs, they cease to become one-offs.
Mate, I don't think Mark Gerhey. I think we can replace Mark Gerhey with a player that will get as good as Mark Gerhey. I don't think we're going to replace Michael Olise with a player as good as Michael Olise.
That's right.
Couldn't replace Wilf
Replacing
Saha with players
Elise.
as good as Wilf Saha. We've done it with two players. Eze and Elise, so it's more than possible.
Wilf, as much as we love Wilf, he will the top those massive teams wouldn't didn't come banging on the door for Wilf. We
Went to
love
Man United.
him. Yeah, and he didn't he was homesick and came back.
And then he went, and then Arsenal wanted him, but they didn't want him for 70, they wanted him for 60, which is what we're going to
Look at
celebrate
it,
this.
look how many I reckon when Elise goes, he's gonna have every single top four club. You can have Barcelona, Real Madrid. He can walk in Bayern Munich, PSG, all of them.
Sure.
And what Arsenal asked about Wilf, and Arsenal weren't top four then.
That's fine.
Have we still got Big Mel on the books, or do we ship him out somewhere?
He's in a Belgian club, isn't he?
So, yeah, gone. Is that alone, or are we telling
Loan.
him? Okay. I was listening to rival podcast, The Guardian, the other day, and they had a couple of chaps on, I think from an EFL podcast or whatnot, talking about lower league stuff. And yeah, they ousted us as pretty much being the sole club or sole Premier League club that had either been bothering to or done good business, fishing guys out of the championship, which is, getting back to your one-off, like we're going back to that well and having results of at least being noticed by non-palace people. So I thought that was encouraging.
Well, in the interest of time and Dale getting a bed, let's move on to let's notice that a lot of people have spoken about it, but four Palace players in the England squad. Five go to
Five,
Europe.
five. Mitchell gets called up for cover.
Oh, is it only four? It is four, isn't it? Sorry.
Henderson, Wharton, Gahee, and
At least so.
Eze.
Eze, sorry.
But just going back to the point where that Ned's point about Dougie setting Palace as a good place to be. I mean, you just have to look at Adam Wharton, right? We came to Palace and within 6 months he's in the England squad, right? So we're going to give these players a chance. But have you, would, did you see that one coming, Ned? Four players in the squad.
Obviously, I thought we were underrepresented.
No, I honestly don't know
No,
why,
in
but.
all, no, in all honesty, I think, Henderson is there due to the fact that England's goalkeeping stocks are shite. They're quite good all over the pitch, but that is not a strength. But that's all right, so we'll take it. Gerhi obviously is top notch. Wharton and Eze obviously very, very good players. I still can't believe no one is. And well, I assume someone is, but I can't believe there's no more pressure from people to try and convince Michael Olise that he's English.
There was,
Yeah.
yeah. So the conversation, the hot topic is they investigated it, but it would not have been able to get done in time to make him come to have English.
What do they need to do? Surely he's got surely he's got a British passport.
It's about registration through FIFA, and it takes a certain amount of time post your last appearance for whatever your previous nation. So
He
something
hasn't
to do
played
with.
for this
I saw,
nation.
yeah, I know, but apparently from when they decided they would want him to getting it happen, it wouldn't have been done in time to be able to play in the Euros. That's what come out. That's what came out by Southgate.
I'm skeptical on that one,
He's
but fair enough.
eligible for about four countries, wasn't he?
Yeah, no,
Nigeria.
I mean, how many times do you see people just in the lead up, just random? I mean, as an Australian football fan, we seem to manage to find someone who's, once had a great aunt that set foot in, Tasmania on holiday once,
Harry Suter,
who no one's ever
anybody?
heard of, who's suddenly eligible for the
Boyle?
national team on 3 minutes' notice. So I feel like it can be done, but fair enough. I mean, I will bow to your expertise here. It just sounds a bit like an excuse from
Not mine, it's the Guardian that said it, not me.
sounds like an
Harry.
excuse from Mr. Southgate, if you ask me. But I mean, you sit there and you go, if Elise's not getting in that French squad, I mean, you're
Crazy.
surely asking the question, because the guy, he, as I said in the chat, he's hardly running around with a baguette and a bunch of onions. He is the least French-sounding individual that has ever played for Palace. So I think that's one where we sort of probably could be asked a question. Mitchell possibly, because we again due to lack of options in that area. So yeah, I mean, look, you play well, you get noticed, and when that happens, you get people in the squad. That's a thing that happens, and yeah, I think it's definitely going to help our cause when we're trying to sign players from the championship as well.
I genuinely can't believe Mitchell didn't at least get in the extended squad behind. And to you, I'm gonna defend Dean Henderson here. I think he's been pretty good towards the end of the season.
Oh,
Like,
he's been fine. Like I've
that's
like
been
you know.
no, been more than fine. He's been decent. He's been pretty good, but.
Sure, but if you're comparing, if you're saying that England want to try and win the Euros, and you go and look at the other top contenders, and you look at their potential options in goal, England's going with Jordan Pickford as number one. He's not great.
Not good. Who would you have over Henderson? Because
Well, no, I wouldn't have anyone over
Newcastle
Henderson.
are
That's what I'm
linked with
saying. I
another
wouldn't
keeper
have
from
any English
Valencia.
players over Henderson. But if I'm looking around the Premier League, going, how many teams does Henderson get into? It's not the longest list in the world.
I
Like,
think your problem is you're looking at the Premier League. Jack Butland had an absolutely superb season with Rangers, and I think it's a bit rough that he didn't get a look in.
yeah, agreed. Anyway.
Didn't have a great Scottish Cup final by all accounts.
No, he was the reason that his mistake was that led to the goal.
Blame that on the keepers, mate. That keep everyone else makes a mistake, but they don't get punished for it. Keepers do,
Well,
unfortunately.
that's what it's life of being a goalkeeper in it down.
Spoken like a true goalkeeper.
Well down then.
Who would have guessed?
What do you think about before?
Now I've been banging the Adam Wharton drum from about three games in, so pretty pleased with that one. Henderson, I saw happening a mile out because
As did I.
there was no other goalkeepers. The moment Johnson got injured, it was Henderson's to lose, really. So I feel a bit sorry for Sam Johnson, but his loss is Dino's gain. Yeah, Gerhi, I think we've said it several times, he somehow became England's number one. Number one choice at centre back. I think it depends who is fit as to who plays, if he plays now. So I don't think I can see him playing with John Stones, and John Stones will definitely start. It's like, I don't know, I just don't see Gerhi starting with Stones, but I'd like to be wrong. I've taken the piss out of a lot of Man United fans saying it's really good to see Kobbie Mainoo get out of Adam Wharton's pocket. After that game when we beat them 4-0. For me, I think it is too early for him, but Jesus Christ, I think he would suit that team down to an absolute T. Mitchell, it's rough, especially if Luke Shaw isn't going to be fit. If Luke Shaw is not going to be fit, and they're going to tell me they're going to have left back options being Kieran Trippier, Joe Gomez, and a another. Well, then that's a bit rough. But Tariq Mitchell might as well go and play for Jamaica because he's not getting into an England squad again, if that's the case. And Ebs, I feel sorry for him because that is England's strong point, is that midfield three behind the striker. It's very difficult. Look, spade to spade. Is he better than Bellingham, Foden, Saka? No. Is he better than Cole Palmer? No. So he's down to fifth choice. The argument then goes, is he better than Jack Grealish on this season's form? Yes. Is he better than Jared Bowen? Jared Bowen's had a superb season. So whether he goes or not, I don't know. I do think, though, the difference between Ebbs and a lot of those other players is that he can do stuff they can't. And I think that might be the thing that gets him through. He's just so good in those tight situations and do something out of nothing. But all in all, having that number of players in the Palace squad, people would definitely tell me I'm wrong, but we went through the 90s, and at particular times, Geoff Thomas, Salako, Andy Gray, Wrighty, they were in squads. I don't think they were all in squads together. That's probably the last time you could reel off a whole heap of Nigel Martin as well. Probably the last time you could reel off a whole heap of Palace players in England squad. So really nice to be in this position.
Knock you out.
I think it's great for the club, obviously. We get to bang on about it and puff our chests out, and so we've got more blokes in that squad than the likes of Manu and so forth. So from the club point of view, I obviously have zero to no interest in the three Lions, but it's great that the Palace boys are getting picked for the national squad. And it's certainly something that the likes of Dougie and Parish can wave about to prospective talent and say, look, Wharton's a perfect example. Go, look, here's a kid, his meteoric rise. Palace have a lot to do with that, bringing him in and giving him a crack. Obviously, your talent's got to be there. So I guess it can kind of leave us a little bit, or certainly distance ourselves a bit from maybe being, a stepping stone club. Well, we still are, let's be realistic, but You know what I mean? Just give us a bit more substance and worth, or if someone's umming and ahhing, it can do us no harm at all to be having multiple players, young guys coming through the play for the club that are getting called up for the national squad. And then, in turn, I guess other national teams that are picked will also go, oh, well, fuck, England have jagged four out of this lot. They must be doing something right. I mean, I'm sure they're scouting to be across it anyway, but yeah, it's only just being beneficial for Crystal Palace and doing business. And I guess it's like any form of representative football from different codes. You always want your players to go and be in that environment and play with the best and get coached by the best and things like that. So there's probably a knock on effect too when they come back to the club and other young blokes like it around and get in their ears or pick their brains about it and share their experience and then maybe create some aspiration for some guys around them to try and achieve the same thing. So I think it's very good, very positive. Good luck to the boys. I don't think they'll get the final nod, but good luck to them when they get there and hope they shine and fly our flag.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great thing for the club. I agree. I don't think Eze quite makes it because I just think he's in that position where England are ridiculously strong. Now, I have a question now, and I'm happy to be shot down, but I mean, if Wharton played for United and Maynou played for Palace, would there be as much of a clamour for Maynou to get in the England squad as there is? Do you guys think?
No idea.
Because don't get me wrong, he's clearly a good player. I've got no doubt about it.
Okay, it's obviously easier if you play for a bigger club, it's easier to get noticed. Both are very good players. Yeah, whatever.
And the Cole Palmer thing, again, good player, but I'm just looking at the stats here, right? So if we're comparing to Ebbs. Palmer played 33 games in the Premier League, 22 goals, 11 assists, of which those 22, nine were penalties, right? So if we take non-penalty goals out, he's got 13 non-penalty goals. Ebbs played 27, so 27 matches, so six games left, got
And
11
stopped you right
goals
there.
and four assists.
I'm
So,
going to stop you. Stelz, I'm going to stop you right there. It's not linear. We have this conversation all the time. Ebbs could have played 35 games and scored no goals and got no assists. So it's not linear. We can't just compare like that. We can only compare on what they did. And the body of work from Cole Palmer was a greater body of work. Ebbs had a good body of work, hence why he's made the extended squad. If he goes in there and proves himself to be better, he might get a place. But we can't turn around and go, he only played this, he got that, because Cole Palmer might only have played. We could cherry pick Cole Palmer's 20 best games and go, oh, he played 20 games and he scored this number of goals and got this number of assists. It's not linear, mate.
No. That's a fair point. I just, well, again, I'm not denying Cole Palmer's not a fantastic footballer because he clearly is. I just don't know if he's as good as everyone makes out he is. I'd put him behind Saka, Foden, Bellingham, at least those three and maybe more. I just don't think, I'm not sure he's as good as everyone says he is. But he's a good footballer. I'm not saying he's not. I
I think
don't.
what you're saying there is you're saying he's behind Foden, Bellingham, Saka. You're talking Premier League player of the season, Jude Bellingham potential Ballon d'Or winner.
No, but I mean, I don't know enough. I don't care about
But you're
international
saying
football.
he's behind those three. You can be behind those three and be miles ahead of everyone else.
I
Absolute
don't think.
miles
I
ahead of
mean,
everyone else and still be behind those three. Like you're talking three ridiculously good footballers.
I'm not saying he's not. I just don't. I don't. I'm not caught up as much in the Cole Palmer hype as others. As I said, very, very good footballer. I don't think there's a massive gap between him and Ebbs, personally. But again, both good. All right, so that's that. So now we're going to just quickly talk about predictions. I went back and listened to the pod. So the predictions ended up with I won with all my predictions were correct. Mark and Dale came second just behind me, and unfortunately, Ned got them
I've
all
got nothing
wrong.
right.
Ned
That's
got them all wrong,
wrong.
which was so nil
I
what.
could have sworn Nathan Ferguson was going to win Player of the Year, and he's
Yeah, I
that.
didn't had him down for 12 or 14
Schlupp,
goals. I
Jeff
can't
Schlupp's
remember.
golden boot. I thought that was a
Crazy.
shoo-in.
Unfortunately, Ned, it's a tragic state of affairs, but unfortunately, your nil point was not enough to get you off the
Devastating.
bottom. So, congratulations to Mark and Dale for a second place finish. You just
Thank you,
lost
mate.
to a man that was on a cracking form at the start of the season. So, that is it. I think that's, unless there's any, unless we want to discuss my Central Coast Mariners, I mean, what a team.
Rob, I will happily discuss your Central Coast Mariners, but I'd like you to take it away and talk us through the game.
Okay. So,
Yeah,
it kicked off about 5 minutes late, so doing some welcome to country stuff. Then not a lot happened for the first 57 minutes, and I believe you scored with a good finish from outside the box. Then we equalised in the 91st minute, and then 2 goals in extra time, and my boys won. What a win!
strong
and
Still
not a
looking.
pink
I mean,
sock in sight. There's still one.
I mean, I appreciate that, for most of the time, you rely on the 3 minute highlights package from Palace. I think you've watched even less than the 3 minute highlights package that you usually get from a Palace game. So by all those standards, not a bad summary. Not a bad summary. Not the worst effort from you. Yes, no, it was a Palace's own Tony Popovic losing his fifth straight grand final out of five, which is an impressive effort.
Oh God,
Two
can't
of
buy
those
one.
in extra time, one on penalties as well. So just to make sure that that was, a really good bit of fun. I think Mariners obviously, doing the treble
Oh, what a
for the first
team.
time.
First
What a
time.
really taking. Taking out the championship, the premiership, and also the AFC trophy or whatever it was called, which is effectively Asia's answer to the Conference League, beating whichever Lebanese side they did in wherever they played it. Obviously, right across that one, but
Major headlines in this country.
a fantastic effort nonetheless. Particularly given, I think they had to fly back in. Had to fly back in on about a Monday from about a 63-hour flight from the middle of nowhere with 17 connections to come and play a final about 3 minutes after they arrived and managed to get the job done against in Sydney at that point. So well deserved, clearly the best team all year. Rob, you get zero credit because you know
That's harsh.
absolutely
Look, I
half
would have
all
been
what
wearing,
happened.
I would have been wearing the Yellow Army, but that supporters shirt, but it's in the wash, and the two Master Foods bottles I normally have behind me.
Master Foods bottles didn't make it to the grand
I
final.
know, I know. Just
They were
is
replaced by extra seating, which was I
an
was
outrage.
outraged about. But I did see a delightful, which I posted in the chat, one of the best celebration tattoos I've ever seen from a Mariners fan who got a tattoo of the Master Foods sauce bottle with the double fingers up, as there was a great photo. For going back a number of years with the mascot flipping off the opposition fans and just the two back-to-back toilet seat trophies, one hung over each arm, tattooed on the back of a leg, which
I
I,
saw that. That's
despite
great.
being disappointed by the result, I thought that was absolutely superb.
Low life. Next.
No, Dale, we're now spending an hour to talk about my Central Coast Mariners.
I'm talking to Central Coast Mariners.
Okay, so Dale said next, so we'll then move on to the A-League All-Stars absolute demolition of
Of a team that came
Newcastle
22nd
under-18.
in Reserve League One. How good?
Yeah, well, that's if they're going to send out the team and to represent their first team, that's the team
I
that they
don't think they
played.
were representing their first team. That's the
The team
problem.
that they played, Dale, was not called the Newcastle under-18 reserve. The team that they played was called Newcastle United Football Club. They were coached by Eddie. They were sent out on that
Gonna
day
give
as
two shits if I'm
representatives
honest.
of the senior side.
I don't care about the A-League, and I don't care about Newcastle, so
I don't care about you, Dale.
definitely not in my wheelhouse this one.
But quick question, Ned, how many Central Coast Mariners played in the A-League All-Stars?
Well, none of them played in the A-League.
Exactly, because they were too busy about to win the grand final on Saturday. Right.
So imagine how
Which,
much
right.
they would have beaten the Newcastle under-18 reserves by. had you put the Mariners in.
Oh my God,
You
it
put
would
the
have been.
Mariners players and the Victory
Oh.
players in there, it would have been 20 to, and to be
Oh.
fair, it should have
Is
been
this
double figures.
now where we say goodbye, everyone? We'll see you in pre at the start of next season. What if we're lucky? If they're lucky, we'll see them start next season. It might be midway through when Ned gets them out. Who knows?
Well, I might not bother if that was going to be so disrespectful.
Yeah,
Can't believe we're going to end the
be too
season like this,
confident.
though. This is our last podcast of the season, and you're just ending it with negativity. After such a positive end on the pitch, and you're going to take that positive energy, turn it around, and bloody just have that negative response. Not happy. I hope you choke on your wheeze bar.
Is it in honor of you and your master foods? And
That works
none more
very well over
positive
the
on the
Northern
pitch
Hemisphere.
than the Central Coast Mariners on Saturday, winning 3-1 in the A League Grand Final, which, Ned, you're very correct. I watched about 18 seconds of in the news the next morning when I found out about it. So, call it there.
See you next week.
Later, all up the palace.
Bye.